I had no inkling of anything wrong until we were steaming upriver again, and I sauntered down to see my Coffle getting their evening meal. Something had shaken Black Beauty badly. His face was strained and ugly and quite deaf to the sneering abuse the overseer gave him as he received his hash from the copper. He shuffled off with his bowl, and I followed him out of eyeshot. "What's the matter?"
"Something dreadful," says he. "My God, it can undo us utterly. It is the most terrible chance, but Crixus should have anticipated it."
He beat his fist on the rail.
"The blind, incompetent blunderer to send me into this peril to...
In God's name, what is it?" I demanded, now thoroughly terrified.
"A man came aboard at Natchez. He knows me. A trader from Georgia. The very man who sold me to my first master. The first time I escaped, he was among those who brought me back. Don't you see, imbecile? If he should catch sight of me, we are finished. I will be dragged back to... Oh, my God!"
And he put his head in his hands and sobbed with rage and fear. I stood appalled.
He would be dragged back. By George, he would have company unless I looked alive. Why didn't Crixus see that this could happen? Why did...
"Shut up," says I.
"He hasn't seen you yet, has he? There's no reason why he should come down here unless he has niggers with him, by God. Has he?"
He jerked his head up, glaring through his tears.
"No. No, there were no new Coffles came aboard at Natchez, but if he should... If he... Even if he did, why should he see you if you lie low? He's not going to go peering into the face of every nigger just for fun. Look, what's his name?"
"Omohondro. Peter Omohondro of Savannah. He's a terrible creature, I tell you."
"You keep out of sight and keep quiet," I snapped. "He won't see you unless your vaporings attract attention. I'll watch out for him, never fear. You've got the key to your irons hidden, haven't you? Well then, you stay behind the bales and keep your eyes open. There isn't a chance in a million of his seeing you, if you are careful."
That calmed him a little. I won't deny I was rattled, but when I considered the size of the boat and the hordes of folk aboard, I told myself we should be all right. The first thing was to get a sight of Omohondro, which wasn't difficult. By discreet inquiry, I got him pointed out to me by a nigger waiter, a big, likely-looking bastard with a scarred face and heavy whiskers. I also discovered he was travelling only as far as Napoleon, which we ought to reach the following evening, so he wasn't going to have much time for prying. Still, the next day passed all too slowly. We lost time at Vicksburg, and I became fretful at the realization we wouldn't get rid of Omohondro before midnight. The man himself did nothing to set my bowels agallop. He never stirred off the boiler deck, and with darkness coming, it looked as though we were past the most dangerous time. I kept an eye on him at dinner, though, and afterwards, when he went into the saloon and settled himself with a group of Arkansas planters to booze the evening away, I stayed on hand. Through Penny Jenny, I had made the acquaintance of two or three fellows on the boat, and one of them, a red-faced old Kentuckian called Colonel Potter, invited me to make up a game of poker. He was one of your noisy, boozy sports, full of hearty guffaws and fumbling Penny's thighs under the table. With him, there was a pot-bellied planter named Bradley, with a great fund of filthy jokes, and a young Arkansan called Harney Shepherdson, who had a yellow whore in tow. Just the kind of company I like. And I was able to watch Omohondro at the same time. He left his friends after a while and approached our table. Potter welcomed him boisterously, introduced us all round and called for another bottle, and said would Omohondro take a hand.
"No, thank ye, Colonel," says he. "Matter of fact, I'm taking the liberty of intruding on your little party in the hope I can kindly have a word with your friend here."
He indicated Bradley to my relief.
"On a matter of business, if the ladies will forgive, that is."
"Feel free, sir. Help yourself," cries Potter.
And Omohondro turns to Bradley.